माधवा जावे हारे चन्न बाला की बांगारी जन बल गिरिवन जसोर नंदन ब्रज चंदरंजन जसोर नंदन ब्रज चंदरंजन यमुना तेरा मन चारी यमुना तेरा मन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन्ना बाला गिरिवन दारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज चंदरंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज चंदरंजन यमुना तेरा बंचारी जाम न तेरा न चरी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय नित्य लीला प्रविष्टास तथा सतसी सी मनुष्य भंगे से सी भक्त वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय प्रेम सुखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत शिखरार शिवासी गौर भक्ति बिन्नी की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राध कुंद गिर गोवर्धन की जय ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय गौर भेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरी सिटी ऑफ सिंपल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी सिटी ऑफ सिंपल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी सिटी ऑफ सिंपल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी सिंपल सिटी श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 11th chapter, text number 22. Parabhivadanaslesha Karasparshasminikshanai Ashvashya Kashvapakkebhyo Vairas Shabir Matir Vibhu Prabhabir Vadana Slesha Kara sparsha simikshanai. Ashvashya kashva pekebyo. Vairais chabir matir vibhu. Please chant. Prabha, by bowing his head. Abhivadana, by greeting with words. Aslesha, embracing. Karta sparsha, shaking hands. Smita ikshanai, by a glancing smile. Ashvashya, by encouragement. Cha, and Ashva Pakebya, down to the lowest rank of dog eaters. Varai, by benedictions. Cha, also Abhimatai, as desired by Vibhu, the Almighty. Translation: the Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances, and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. To receive the Lord Sri Krishna, there were all grades of population, beginning from Vasudev, Ugrasena, and Gargamuni, the father, grandfather, and teacher, down to the prostitutes and chandalas who are accustomed to eat dogs. And every one of them was properly greeted by the Lord in terms of rank and position. As pure living entities, all are the separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relation. Such pure living entities are graded differently in terms of contamination of the modes of material nature. But the Lord is equally affectionate to all his parts and parcels, despite graduation. He descends only to recall those material living beings back to his kingdom, and intelligent persons take advantage of this facility offered by the personality of Godhead to all living beings. No one is rejected by the Lord from the kingdom of God, and it remains within the living beings to accept this or not. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Militam Yinatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayati Girim Yakripatam aham bande shri gurum dinatharinam. Vancha kapatiru jascha kripa sindhu baheva cha. Patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So this verse, to use a phrase sometimes used by our acharyas, is simply dripping with friendship. It's an example for us in the variety of dealings that we find here presented in this verse. And, I mean, it is, after all, what we would expect from the Supreme Personality of Godhead if we reference the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, verse 29, Bhaktaram Jagnatapisham Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sudridam Sarvabhutanam Gyantvamam Santam Richiti Sudridam Sarvabhutanam. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Benefactor and well-wisher, Sudridam Sarvabhutanam. Benefactor, or we could use the word friend, of all living entities. Someone that is always looking for their best interest. The nature of the material world is that I'm always looking for my own best interest. Whatever is suitable for me, whatever is going to make me happy, whatever is going to satisfy my senses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is referred to quite the opposite here. Not only is he interested in the well-being of one friend, but of all living entities. This is the word, Sarva Bhutanam. Of all living entities, the Lord is looking out for the best interest of all living entities. Now, this is very indicative because it means that he will deal with different living entities in different ways. It's not that we deal with everybody in the same exact way. There are different exchanges that we have according to circumstances, according to position, according to social custom, etc. And just like in our own friendships, we have different types of friends, different levels of intimacy, different levels of confidentiality, different ways that we relate to people that we're friendly with. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Sesha Prabhu had a very, very nice article he had written, published in Dundabhats, and it was about friendships, and I would like to quote that article here. The Sanskrit language has at least three words to describe how it feels to be a friend, all of which, to different degrees, address issues embedded in the reason or important purpose of friendship. Protection from the dangerous nature of this world, building community to serve our common needs, and ultimately our desire for intimacy in personal relationships. This is an important part there. This is one of the driving factors, this desire for intimacy. We have this desire for intimacy, which is misdirected from our relationship with the Personality of Godhead. Back to the article here. Bandhu is a word that means kinship, or relation, association, friend, or respect. The Hitopadesha describes four types of protective friendship centered around the family unit. One related by blood, one related by marriage, one who is a friend of the family, and one who protects someone in distress. These four different types are under the category of a protective friend. Mitra is a general term for friend, which has the connotation of equals, of mutual benefit, even an alliance in the sense that the common need is based on some individual motive. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's the analogy he uses here. And the third example that Sesha Prabhu gives, sudhrid, is when friendship is not dependent on what I get from you, but solely what is in your best interest. That is sudhrid. A sudhrid friend intimately knows the heart of his or her friend and acts unhesitatingly for his or her benefit without asking and without doubt. Now, as you can see from these three types here, this is the highest level of close friendship. So it's a very nice description that's given here and very interesting for us to consider. We can see from these three breakdowns here that our different friendships fall into these types of categories. And within the three, there's even a little bit of variation as to how they're done. So as the indication is, there are many different types of friends that we have. So Krishna's described in that verse in the Gita as sudridam, the well-wisher of all. This brings him into this third category, into this intimate category of knowing what is in the heart of the individual that they're friending. It also indicates, as this third word here, sudrid, gives, that he has our best interest. He's looking out for us. And that without even being asked, he will step forward to do something for our benefit. This is how Krishna interacts with every living entity, because he is the super soul seated in the heart of all beings. And knowing that, he interacts with those living entities in that way. In the 10th chapter of the Gita, this is one of his opulences, that he is the super soul seated in the hearts of all living entities, from the tiniest of microorganisms to the insects, up to the birds, to the mammals, and to the human beings, and beyond to other species above that as well. So this type of understanding of the breakdown of friendships is an essential factor in understanding how the Lord has our interest at his at heart and for our own benefit. Now, if we look a little further, we see that Rupa Goswami has also given an important understanding of exchanges and levels of friendships in the Upadeshamrita. This is, of course, the famous verse 4, Didati Pratigrinanti Guyam Ayati Prichate Bhunte Bojayate Chaiva Sadvidham Priti Lakshana. And Rupa Goswami describes that there are six types of exchanges in friendship: the offering of gifts in charity, the accepting of charitable gifts, the revealing of one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, the accepting of prasad, and the offering of prasad. These are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Now, if we look at these six descriptions here, we'll see that they're basically in three different levels, three different types of exchanges. And in the middle is what we saw described in this article over here, sudhrid, very confidential, very intimate, revealing the mind. We don't just open our minds up to anyone. You know, just anybody would bump into, how are you doing? Well, actually, you know, if you really want to know, I mean, I'm really struggling with it. Yeah, nobody's interested. Nobody's interested. You know, I work in retail, and you see a customer, how are we doing today? Oh, man, you know, I mean, I got out of bed this morning. No, I don't care. It's just a greeting, just to get the conversation started. I really am not interested. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna really is interested. And in this description from this verse of Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami explains that intimate friends, that is how they exchange. They reveal their minds. They inquire confidentially from others. This shows a certain development of intimacy and friendship over a period of time. It doesn't just happen. You know, now, maybe that individual that I bump into in the plumbing department at Lowe's is somebody that I've been dealing with for the 12 years I've been there, and I've developed a little bit of a relationship with, and maybe I've actually become friends with them. Or maybe, as I'm ultimately fortunate, and it's a Vaishnava. This is the greatest benefit, is I see devotees all day. In that case, yes. How you doing today, Prabhu? And matter of fact, it happened just the other day. And a devotee said to me, he said, well, actually, I'm really struggling. I just such and such just happened in my life personally. And this is really, and so we had a conversation like that, you know. So these are the different types of exchanges that we have. It's not that friendship just means everything is done the same way. This is the point that's being made in this verse. So both by example and by philosophy, we're given an understanding of how to act with others, and equally, how important that understanding of how to act with others is. But doing so, it requires a certain amount of humility, a certain amount of gravity, a certain freedom from pride, because we're going to have different levels of how we interact. Now, this is all very nicely presented in this verse, where it notes that the Lord interacts in seven different ways with the residents of Dwarka as he's entering. One thing that I came to understand as I was preparing for this class, something I have to do, I know some devotees just sit right down, and I remember one leader I used to work with that I was very, very happy to be engaged in service with. He would sit down and say, okay, we're going to do the Gita class tonight. Somebody give me a number between 1 and 18. Boom. Okay, and then he'd look at that chapter. Okay, give me a number between 1 and 54. Boom. Okay, so today's class, you know, I'm sorry, that's not me. You see, I've always got pages of notes. So as I was preparing, I looked at the Sanskrit here, and I got really excited. Prabha, bowing the head. Oh, that's like the word Prabhu, so it must be connected. Now, if I had no proper knowledge of how to reference something, and if I did not have the friendship of someone like Madhamati, who is expert in Sanskrit, I would have just gone ahead with that erroneous idea. We can't assume something without properly researching it and presenting it, especially if we're going to take the responsibility of sitting on this seat that represents Srila Vyasadeva. So after preparing and looking, I realized that the direction I was going to go with this was incorrect, and I had to adjust that accordingly. So these are the seven different ways. The first one is prava, and bowing of the head is the translation Prabhupada gives on this. Now, the Monier Williams Sanskrit Dictionary gives a little deeper understanding of this word prava. He gives five different definitions. Slanting or sloping or inclined towards another, stooping down, bent down, humbly bowing before another, submissive and humble and modestly submitting oneself to another, devoted or attached to, engaged in the service of another, or bowing with the palms joined and put to the forehead as a mark of respect by humbling oneself. These are all things that we can understand when we come before the spiritual master, when we come before Srila Prabhupada, when we meet other Vaishnavas. Sometimes it's a little awkward in public situations. I apologize for going back to this example again, but I was at work yesterday and one devotee came in, and my immediate manager was standing there talking with me, and this devotee came in and began to embarrassingly so offer words of praise and glorification of my so-called spiritual position, blah, 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 blah. And my manager kind of looked at me and chuckled, because he knows I'm a devotee. He's like, one of yours, huh? So we are accustomed to appreciate each other in these manners, to present ourselves in a lower position, to present ourselves in a humble position, to present ourselves, in a submissive manner. We don't generally think this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead presents himself, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but yet we see here, Krishna is presenting himself like that. But who is he presenting himself like that to? To his elders, Vasudev, Gargamuni, Ugrasena. He is not thinking himself, well, I mean, after all, I'm God, just let them worship me. I don't need to give any, you know. He manifests in that relationship a type of humility, showing respect for the elders in a humble and reverential way that is indicative and exemplary for us to follow. This is part of the responsibility of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of being a leader, of being a senior, is giving an example that is suitable for others to follow. Something we lack sorely in our modern society, but that's a whole other conversation. So in this way, Krishna submissively bows his head towards these seniors. The second exchange here is abhivandana, greeting with one's words. Now this indicates some pleasantries, some kind words are exchanged, some social greetings to someone that may or may not be an equal, and that someone most likely is not mostly intimate with you. Some polite words, you know, that are exchanged there, and this is in a large assembly. This isn't a one-on-one type of thing. So this is another type of way, just some pleasantries of greeting with another. The third one is aslesha, embracing. Now this, we're getting to a more friendly type of exchange. Every time I see Namamrita, we give each other a big hug. We have such a history with each other. We go back so far, and we've done so many things together. So that's a much more intimate type of a friendship. And it's likely exchanged with someone that you know quite well, that you haven't seen maybe in some time, or maybe you see every day, but you just really are, you know, generous in the mood of joy at meeting that person again. So this is another type of exchange. We see Krishna's exchange, you know, someone, oh, in a big hug like that, you know, so like that. The fourth kind, karaspasa, shaking of hands. We see this when there's a dignitary or a person of importance moving through a crowd, they make it a point to shake hands. If you happen to waste your time by watching when the president enters into Congress to give a lecture, the State of the Union, or whatever, as he's going through the crowd, people are very eager to make it a point to shake his hand and make some eye contact because it establishes a relationship. So this is an interesting combination here. This kara indicates the doer, meaning to cause something to happen. And sparsa indicates something that is pleasing by the sense of touch, specifically by the sense of touching with the hand. So a friendly handshake. I remember my early days as a brahmachari, I was taught that devotees don't shake hands. They just offer their pranams and bow like that. Well, I beg to differ according to this verse. Krishna shakes hands. Gives a handshake. Now, my father always taught me from an early age what a proper handshake is. And I taught my son, and I'm sure he'll teach his son. And this is a common thing. It should be a firm and confident handshake, one that's very solid but doesn't hurt the other individual. Additionally, one should know how firm that handshake should be, or how less firm according to the circumstances. So these are all details of shaking someone's hand. And it indicates maybe a quick exchange, but some type of relationship there. So the fifth one, smita ikshanai, looking and smiling. I liked this one very much. Now, of course, in a large crowd, you're not going to get to greet everyone directly. You can imagine the turnout as Krishna is entering Dwarka, as he's being received into the different places he's going. And having the ability to perform this type of exchange, looking and smiling, is very, very important. It can even substitute for that personal. You see someone off in the distance and kind of a raise of the eyebrows and nod of the head and smile at them. They know a connection has been made. I saw a performance of an individual in a crowd of over 50,000 people. But this person worked the crowd so well that members of the audience thought that he's directly exchanging with me. He's really got an exchange going with me. This is how perfect this individual could do that. So how much more perfect would we expect that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be working a crowd, as we say, you know? Of course, we have the case of the gopis and the cowherd boys. There's endless stories through Shastra of how when Krishna would have exchanges with them, they all thought, Krishna's just with me. And this was Krishna's amazing mercy to allow that devotee to think that, yeah, I've got Krishna's undivided attention. You know, if you're a parent and you have multiple children, the ability for those children to think they've got your undivided attention. Okay, you've got my undivided attention. What do you want? It's a real gift, you know. Mahaprabhu experienced this, or displayed this, I should say, during his kirtans in Jagannath Puri during the Rath Yatra. There were 7 major kirtan parties. Each kirtan party had a specific leader and had a particular player, and mdungas and dancer and all like that. That's another description I've given before. But during this time, each of these individuals, kirtan groups, thought Mahaprabhu's dancing with just us. How was that possible? Because he was making eye contact and smiling, exchanging with them, just as this verse is indicating here. Now, the varieties of smiling are also very important. This was, as a young brahmachari, one of my favorite parts of the Nectar Devotion. It describes there's 6 types of smiling, 3 major and 3 minor. Rupa Goswami is such an incredible personality, right? Not only is he able to describe Krishna smiling with the devotees, but he's able to break it down into 6 types. And then of those 6, decide which ones are the minor ones and which ones are the major ones. It's really quite amazing. So of these 6 types of smiling, the first one is called smita. That's when one is smiling, but his teeth are not visible. And one can distinctly mark a definite change in the eyes and in the cheeks. Like that. The second type of smiling is called hasita. And this is when one is smiling and the teeth are slightly visible. Just a little better smile, you know, the teeth are slightly visible. Vihasita, as we know from Prabhupada's lectures, when you put the word vi in front, it means even more. Vimudha, even bigger ass. So vihasita, even bigger, the teeth are more distinctly visible. And this is called vihasita. These are the 3 major. The 3 minor, avahasita, when the nose becomes puffed, the eyes squint, and the smiling is then called avahasita. The next one is apahasita. Apahasita. When tears from the eyes are added to the smiling, and the shoulders shake a bit. I don't know how that's a minor. That's a pretty major type of smile. But at any rate, Rupa Goswami knows what he's talking about. And then the 6th one, atihasita. When a person claps his hands and leaps into the air while smiling. So, so these are the 6 types of smiling. And any one of these 6, we can imagine, Krishna was exchanging as he saw different people in the audience there. Now, I would think in the somewhat formal setting that Krishna was having as he entered into Dwarka, that the first 3 were probably what we could expect. There's no description of Krishna jumping up in the air and clapping as he saw someone across the crowd. I'm sure if that had happened, there would have been mention. So we can safely assume, it would seem, that the first 3 more subtle types of smiling are what's being described here. So now back to these different types of exchanges Krishna's having. Number 6, asvasya, giving assurances and encouragement. Now this is another subtle gesture. It can involve the nodding of a head, smiling, or an uplifting gesture with the hand. You know, you see someone, you smile, kind of give a little, you know, like that. You know, okay, yeah, no, no problem. Yes, you know, what's that famous? The head nod, you know, yes, 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 you know, like that. just now. So this type of gesturing is a little more subtle. It's not so direct. And it gives encouragement, but it's in a shorter type of an exchange. It's not a verbal conversation, but it's shorter. But it lets the supporter say, know that you've made note of what, you know, not a problem, yes, later, you know, like that, something of that nature. And then the 7th one, Varai, awarding benedictions. Now, the interesting point of this word is that the benedictions are particular to the individual receiving the benediction. There are general benedictions. Krishna's Sudridam Sagabhutanam. He's the friend of all living entities. But how is he the friend of all living entities? Well, that will be individual. So Krishna's ability is that he can give those benedictions according to the person's need, according to the person's circumstances. So these are the various ways that Krishna interacts with the persons in a crowd like this, as he's being received in Dwarka, as he's going into the different places, you know, and each according to his different circumstance and according to a particular relationship. Now, due to his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we stated earlier, he understands, being the super soul, he understands what's in the heart of everyone and how best to interact with them. And further, as we refer back to that same Gita verse, he enters and acts sarva-bhutanam with everyone. All living entities, it's noted in this purport, all living entities. Now, all the way from the top, as we mentioned, Vyasadeva, Ugrasena, Gargamuni, like that, down to the lower ranks of the prostitutes and the dog eaters. Now, let's just say that the dog eaters and prostitutes appear to be on the same level here. This prostitute topic was covered very clearly in a class earlier in the week, so we don't need to go into that particularly, but we see that the different categories of humanity, different categories of people, are all given relationship with Krishna, are all given his friendship. It says right in the purport, all living entities. It says in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, all living entities, sarva-bhutanam. So this means that Krishna acts with everyone, but here again, accordingly. And why is that? I mean, it would be fair to say, okay, well, this individual is not giving any particular inclination towards me, doesn't do anything, so I'm just going to ignore this one. But all are the separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relationship to the Lord. This is very essential. We tend to see who is our friend, who is our enemy, who is our family, who is a distant relationship, who is desirable, who is undesirable. We break up our vision, our interactions with people according to these types of distinctions. Krishna sees all his parts and parcels equal, although different, and disposed towards all of them. This is an amazing ability. It's not an easy thing to do, to be equally kind, equally disposed, equally inclined towards everyone, but deal with them differently according to circumstance. This takes some real skill, some real potency. Now, quite understandably, the differences are noted in how the material contamination impacts that living entity. This is the distinguishing factor. The distinguishing factor isn't, as in our case, who's our friend, who's our enemy, you know, who's going to give me facility, who's inclined to me later. But the distinguishing factor is, what is the impact of the material contamination on that living entity? In other words, how much do the three modes of material nature impose themselves on the living entity's life, and in what way? And then that determines how Krishna interacts. So it becomes very clear that if we want the optimum relationship with Krishna, then we have to do everything we can to remove as much as possible the influence of the three modes of material nature on our activities. Because the three modes of material nature are just that, material. And it's contamination. Pure sattva is not a contaminating factor. But we see here the three modes of material nature, they're considered a contaminating impact on the, Prabhupada uses the word impact on a living entity. So here, we and our free will independence come into play. In what manner do I want to act, and in what influence, and what influence do I want to let come into my life, come into my existence? Prabhupada famous to say, you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. You associate with scholars, you become a scholar. So this brings to point another consideration. Those of us that are having to mix with the material energy in a greater or lesser way, according to our circumstance, have to somehow or another prevent that material energy from impacting us. The number of people that I deal with during the course of the day in my circumstance that are on Sudasattva, it's pretty rare. Well, if I get a devotee that comes in, then I'm saved. But generally speaking, most of the individuals I have to have contact with, I have to have conversation with, I have to have exchange with, are completely under the contaminating factor of material consciousness. So how to protect myself? How to protect any of us? This is the system Prabhupada has given us. By keeping ourselves in contact with the material, with the spiritual energy, we put up a barrier to the material energy. The spiritual energy can prevent anything getting past it. I've said this many times. This is something I always told my children when they were growing up and struggling with the influences of teenage years and young adulthood. We ourselves cannot conquer the material energy. But by putting Guru and Krishna between ourselves and the material energy, they have that ability. They become our armor. They become our buffer. You know, the idea of having something between us, you know, some kind of force field, you know, so that the onslaught of weapons from the opposition can't make it onto our circumstance, onto our turf, so to speak. Therefore, that protection comes from the spiritual master, from contact with Krishna. Through Shravanam, Kirtanam, through reading, through associating, through only taking prasadam, through all of these different aspects that Prabhupada's given us in this glorious life that we get the opportunity to live, this is how we protect ourselves from this material contamination. It's very simple. We have the opportunity to access the spiritual nature, but it's only by our desire and how much we're willing to embrace that material thing, that material consciousness, and to what degree, higher or lower, we want to allow ourselves to be impacted. So we have to make a conscious effort to keep ourselves in that position, to keep ourselves, Prabhupada, of course, uses a wonderful example when a doctor is going, just like with this pandemic we have now, the vaccine is given to the frontline workers, as they're called. Those in the medical field, those dealing with the doctors and nurses dealing with all this, so they get inoculated first. Prabhupada gives this example. If you're going to go into that battlefield, you have to be protected. So in the same way, we have to protect ourselves by contact with that spiritual energy, by practice of those spiritual principles, by engaging those spiritual activities, so that we cannot be impacted and so that we can share that blessing with others. This distinction is not noted by the Lord, though. He sees that, okay, material contamination there, but still he comes to give his mercy. We see this so clearly by examining the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. They were freely giving their mercy to everyone. Higher caste, lower caste, lowest of caste, casteless, whoever it was. Their goal was to entrap all living beings, sarva bhutanam, to bring them all into the net of Sri Harinam. And to this end, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Puri, he requested Nityananda, no, you stay in Bengal. I'll preach in Puri, you preach in Bengal. And as the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, they opened a canal from the ocean of love of God to every home. And that was their business. To give that unlimited access. This is Krishna's incredible mercy as the Sudhutam Sagabhutanam, friend of every living entity. To manifest as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nityananda Prabhu, and go to every home and give Krishna consciousness. And if we look at what Prabhupada did when he came here in the 60s, the quality of the persons and their habits to such a Vrindavan sadhu must have been such a shock. I mean, Samati Maharaji tried to encourage Prabhupada, no, you shouldn't go. It's you're going to die there. It's horrible. She had a little worldly experience. Prabhupada came anyway, and he tolerated it. He tolerated all of it, having to wait in line with his students for the use of the toilet, having to wash all the pots and pans after having cooked all the prasadam. Every detail of how degraded the culture was in having no idea not only how to respect someone who was elderly, but someone who was an elderly sadhu. And Prabhupada did it all for one goal. Sudridam sarvabhutanam. For a friendship, befriending every living entity with Krishna consciousness. I had the good fortune when Vishwambar Goswami, the prior head of the Radharaman temple, who's now passed away many years ago, he came to America and did a tour, and he stayed in New York, and my wife and I were able to host him. And I drove him around and showed him all the different places of Prabhupada's pastimes in New York City. The Bowery, 26th Avenue, 94, all these different places. And he looked at them all and appreciated. And on the drive back to the temple, he said to me, he said, you know, many people in India, they appreciate what Prabhupada has done. But until they come and see where he has done it, they have no idea. So this was an appreciation. Where he has done it. The most degraded, you know, the Bowery for decades was, you know, the source of irrepute and songs about what a horrible place it was, you know. So in this way, starting from the Lord himself, no one is rejected from love of God. But, here again, it's our own desire to attain that love of God instead of broken pieces of glass, that priceless diamond. Here again, having lived in New York, there's 49th Street. And 49th Street between 6th and 5th Avenue is the Diamond District. All the diamond shops are there. Now, as you get close to 49th Street, even as you come onto it, there are gentlemen on the street, gentlemen, and I use the term very loosely, selling you much cheaper diamonds than you'll purchase if you go in the shops. Much cheaper. So-called diamonds. And it's when I was living in New York, the Nigerian street vendors would have the best prices on Rolex for you on the corners. They'd have them laid out right there on their table. Genuine Rolex for you, only $50. So, you know, I can tell you the benefit of living in New York, for one thing, all the years I lived there, is that you really understand firsthand many of the analogies that Prabhupada uses in his preaching and speaking. So we do not want to be the person who's fooled into buying this cheap Rolex or this so-called diamond. We want the real thing, real love of God. So we shouldn't allow ourselves to be cheated, but we should seriously take advantage of the mercy that Prabhupada's giving us, of the compassion that Krishna extends to us, and of the love of God that we have available right within our grasp. We're living in a very unique time. The worst of Kali Yuga, it's going to get much worse, but you know, we look around and so much degraded activity. But we have this golden opportunity to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to get the blessing of pure love of Godhead from Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we can make our path back to home, back to Godhead, and really experience this Sudridam Sarvabhutanam, this eternal friendship of Krishna to all living entities. So we'll finish there, pretty much right on time. If anybody has any comments, questions, corrections. No? All right. Oh,
I've got a question.
Madam T, yes, please.
Just to, thank you. Thank you so much for that nice explanation of friendship and how Krishna is a true friend. Just the word karasparsha, I was thinking, I don't know if that's how Krishna did handshake, but I know in India, when they do a handshake, it is both, maybe I can demonstrate with...
Both hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they grab each, like this and like
right.
that.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
So when I think about Krishna handshaking, I think like that, or when he handshaked with Lord Brahma, apparently he says that he... At least Prabhupada says, I don't know what it said in Sanskrit, but Prabhupada said that he shook his hands with Lord Brahma when he manifested in front of Lord Brahma.
Mm.
So I don't know if somebody else has any insight on that, that is that how Krishna handshakes, is with both the hands or not?
Well, I think that's something we can put at the top of our bucket list to experience Krishna's handshake. That's a worthy bucket list item. You know, it's funny, by having spiritual desires, we can remove material desires. I grew up hiking and camping, and for the biggest majority of my life, I had a strong, strong desire to hike the Appalachian Trail. That goes from Georgia all the way up to Maine. It's about 3,000 miles and takes 6 to 9 months, depending. And I had this strong, strong desire. I wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail in the mountains and in the woods. And once I completed Dhandabad Parikrama of Govardhan Hill, that desire just dissipated. It was gone. Who needs to go anywhere? I've gone to Govardhan. So, you know, we shouldn't have any doubt that all of our spiritual desires will be fulfilled and will thus eliminate those somewhat mundane desires that we may still have kicking around in the heart, you know.
Hare Krishna. You're speaking about elders and respecting people elder. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna. So, I think Balaram is only about 2 weeks older than Krishna, is that correct?
Is what?
Lord Balaram, how much older is he than Krishna?
I'd have to look in my reference book. I don't have it memorized. I have a file of all that, but yeah.
It's only a week or two, but yet he treats him like he's an elder.
Well, that was the unique exchange also in the relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Nityananda was clearly older, and Nityananda was older for a reason. He was tired of being the junior brother. That's a whole other story. That didn't do him very well in Ramlila. He said, never again. I'm not taking instructions like that. So he always appeared as a senior. So a couple of weeks, couple of years, whatever the case is, he made it a point to be the elder. Yeah.
But then there's also seniority by advancement.
But the uniqueness, to go to your question, the uniqueness of the relationship was one wanted to be the senior, one wanted to be the junior, but it always reversed. Mahaprabhu, who technically was younger than Nityananda, always wanted to respect Nityananda. Nityananda always wanted to... So this is another unique nature of the friendship. You'll see that amongst devotee friends. Oh, Prabhu, you're my senior. No, how am I senior? Well, you know, you joined before me. No, but you know, still, you're more advanced. You know, back and forth they go like that, you know. So, yeah.
Balaram's leaning on Krishna. And he's the older brother.
Yeah. Krishna is the supporting factor of the entire creation. So, yeah, Balaram's leaning on him. And that in and of itself is a very unique type of friendship, you know. I mean, you can't just go up and put your arm on anybody and just hang on their shoulder like that. You got to be tight with them, you know, so, yeah.
And then there's seniority by advancement. Because Divyanga, I'm older than Divyanga, I'm older than Vaisheshika, I'm older than Panchagoda, I'm older than Ramanya, but I'm way, way junior to all of them.
That's a whole other story. Chronological age doesn't determine our level of advancement. I am a perfect example of that. Pran, I would be disappointed if nothing.
I was thinking just to let you know, I'm not a supporter.
But speak real close because
I'm not a supporter of Trump, so I just don't take it when I say something like that. But I remember one, somebody sent me a YouTube where Trump went to India and he did not shake hand or anything. He said, I had no trouble. I just folded hand like this and we greeted each other. And the whole time, it was a big deal. Even Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister, he spoke about it. Said, this is the culture, it's so nice. So So I was asking you that where this folding hand greetings fits in this seven category that you have very nicely explained. Or it's not within this.
Folding hands versus shaking hands.
This was what I was told as a young devotee.
No, I'm just asking a common, like generally in India also I see that.
Yeah.
When you don't know everybody, you just go like this.
Well, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, when one is not able to give full dandavats, if one places the hands together in front of the heart chakra and then to the forehead, this doubles as that, or supplements that. So one can do like that. Panditji?
Yeah, that's in the category of Abhivadana. That includes your full hands and, you know, bend your head. Abhivadana.
Nodding, yeah.
I appreciate your class explanation, a lot of explanation on the Sanskrit words, you know, bandhu and all the avahasita and avahasita. Wonderful, thank you. I had one little degraded question. So, and the Bhagavata many times talks about swapaka, like the chandala, the dog eaters. So, one time my father said he visited Meghala in Assam. He said people eat dogs there, you know. So, besides that, I don't see people, you know, having, like, killing dogs and eating them. So I think recently somebody asked, well, how to find those dog eaters? I don't know what the person is, anyway. So I just, you know, without thinking, I said, those who are eating hot dogs, they are dog eaters. I don't know if that can be, you know, appropriate to say, but, you know, they do sell hot dogs, though people are eating the hot dogs, so they are dog eaters. What do you say about it?
Well, I know that when you look at the time of Krishna, when it was pretty much one global country, so to speak, and now you've got the division, things have separated, but there's clearly a class in our modern culture of people, countries, which will be polite, that are commonly known for eating dogs and cats. Matter of fact, many times restaurants of this nationality are closed down when they're found to be serving these types of animals instead of the so-called proper meats. So any type of, you know, it's a foreign subject to us, you know, after years of being devotees. I was just talking with someone last night and something about, you know, eating the foods they eat, which we'll leave vague and you can imagine with your own thoughts. But I said, yeah, I said, I haven't touched anything like that since 1971. And this was just shocking to them, you know. So things that we just accept as our lifestyle and just, you know, we can't even imagine doing, these people do all the time. So cows, dogs, goats, pigs, whatever, you know, they, horrible subject. All right, so we'll finish there, 9 o'clock.
This is not a...
I can't hear unless you put it right there. Yeah.
In Antalila chapter 9, correct. Antalila chapter 9, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says when Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he is experiencing all these ecstatic symptoms. And guess who came to see him? And the beginning of the chapter, it says, from the Nava Deepa Basi and then Sapta Khanda, the seven island of the Bhumandal, and then nine division, Prabhupada translated as a division, of Jambudip, and then three Jagata, including the Basuki, the snake, and all the Kodru, all the poisonous snake, they also came to Mahaprabhu. Now you never hear this story, that Mahaprabhu was experiencing ecstasy in Jagannath Puri. Swarup Damodar is there, Ramananda Rai is, everybody is there, his intimate, and the snake all are there, they all fainted. just by seeing Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. So it is there. That's why I said Antalila, you can read it. So similarly, in Dwarka, when we say Chandala, it's not that Dwarka has actually dog eater lives there. They just happen to come when Lord Krishna returned. This is their reciprocation. Somewhere they are in this universe. They are all sent by Jogamaya to have this reciprocation. And this is probably their last life. Like Prabhupada says, our Sarvam Bhattacharya in the letter to Jodhurani. This is his last life. Many souls are meeting Mahaprabhu like that.
So your point is there were no Chandalas in Dwarka?
Not dog eater. I mean, literally there is nobody there to eat dog and prostitute. So on. The idea is there. The idea is there. Jiva Goswami Pad says.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, I need evidence. I need evidence. I can tell you that when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, yeah, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says, lakhs and lakhs of people came to meet him in the evening. Next day he's going to take sannyas, or middle of the night he's going to leave. But lakhs of people coming from where?
Right. Well, it's after 9 o'clock. That's a deep subject, and I think we'll put it on the shelf for now. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Not necessarily they have been the same Jesus.